In the previous lectures that Mike has shared with us, we've been thinking about the idea of probability. Somehow that we can put a numerical value to things that have yet to occur. The unexpected, the future, we can somehow weigh. And today, what I'd like us to do is put an actual value on all possible outcomes to see what the value the future might actually hold in store. Louis Pasteur once wrote, "Chance favors only the prepared mind." And when you think about this course as a course involving the joy of thinking, I can't think of anything more appropriate than thinking about the prepared mind, especially if we're going to take risks. And quite often we take risks every time we walk into a casino. In fact, we absolutely do take a risk when we walk into a casino. And so today what I want to do is take a look at how you can measure that, how we can be prepared for those unexpected losses. And this really brings up the value of expected value. That's the value of a particular event happening. And the way you can actually think of expected value, sort of in a humanistic way, is to think about it as a weighted average of all possibilities. Now, explicitly, mathematically, we define the idea of expected value to mean listing all the possible outcomes that we can have and seeing the value of each of those outcomes and taking each value of each outcome and multiplying it by the likelihood that it occurs. So if an outcome is actually very likely to happen, we actually weigh that very heavily. We multiply it by its probability, which would be very, very high. If another outcome is, in fact, very, very low in its likelihood to occur, then we multiply it by its probability, which would make that value much smaller. So the idea is we take the value of each possible outcome and multiply each possible value by the probability that that outcome occurs, and then add all those numbers up. And that would give us the expected value. Now that sounds like sort of a complicated looking thing, but let's actually look at an example and see that in fact we witness this all the time. So the moment you step into a casino, you've actually lost. Sorry to say, but that's probably true. So for example, consider roulette. Roulette's a really fun game. As you know, roulette has lots of numbers from 1 to 36. You can pick your favorite one, the day you're born. In my case, I bet 9, which I always do and rarely win. And you can bet whatever number you want. And it turns out that if you place a $1 bet on a number, like let's say 9, if you win, you get $36. $36, that's huge. So just a $1 bet, if you win, you get $36. Well, this sounds like a wonderful deal and certainly one that you should consider taking. Or is it? Well, let's compute the expected value. Well, you can think of your birthday or the month that you were born in, and these are numbers that sometimes reside between 1 and whatever, but we go up to 36. You get a $36 payoff, but it turns out those aren't all the numbers. Because in fact, as some of you may recall, there's also 0 and there's even double 0. And it turns out that 0 and double 0, in fact, are how casinos make their bread and butter when it comes to roulette. Now, let's see why. It turns out that since we have 0 and double 0, there's a total of 38 possible equally likely outcomes. Because we could spin a number from 1 to 36, but then we also have 0 and double 0, so that's 38. So what's the probability that any one particular number appears? Well, that probability will be 1 out of the 38 equally likely possibilities. So we see 1 out of 38. That's the probability that we actually get the number we bet on. What's the probability of losing? Well, it's the opposite. Mike talked about that in lecture 20. We see that it's actually going to be 37 over 38 because there are 37 numbers that are not our number out of the 38 equally likely. So it's very, very likely. 37 over 38 is very likely that we, in fact, will lose. It will not be on our number. Now, if we were to actually make the bet and win, they give us $36, which sounds wonderful. But you've got to remember that you paid a dollar to play. So what is actually the profit that we get? The profit we actually get is $35. So in fact, the amount of money that we increase our wealth by if we win is only $35. So that's the value of winning. It's actually $35. It's the input we get minus the amount it cost us to play. And we have to consider that. So in this case, it's 35. So we take that value, 35, and now multiply it by the likelihood of getting that outcome, which we already saw was 1 over 38. And now we add to that the alternative, namely losing. Well, if we lose, what is the value of that event? Well, it cost us $1 to play, and we lost, so we lost $1. So the value is actually negative, because we lost, negative $1. And what's the likelihood of that? Well, the likelihood is 37 over 38. So it's very likely that we'll lose. If we add those two numbers up, what do we see? When you add those two numbers up, we get negative 2 over 38, which reduces to minus 1 19th of a dollar. And what is that? Well, 1 19th of a dollar is just a little bit over 5 cents. So it's actually going to be 5.3. Now, actually, remember, if you actually compute that, if you see on the chart, it's negative. The reason why we see negative 1 over 19, or negative 5.3 cents, is because it shows that on average, we're going to be losing money. The negative is actually deficit spending. Let's roll and see what happens. If you actually now turn the roulette wheel, I'll bet on 9. You can bet on your favorite number. Here it comes. And we're landing on... I can't see it. On 0, 0. Wow. Well, that is, in fact, what they love, because they throw those numbers in there deliberately to make the odds of winning even less. So I would have lost my dollar. Now, I lost a dollar on that bet. I lost a dollar. But I claim the expected value is, in fact, losing 5.3 cents. Well, it turns out that nobody loses 5.3 cents. Nobody does. Because if you bet a dollar, you will lose a dollar, or you will win $35 profit. So where's the 5.3 cent loss? Well, it turns out that's a running average. What you expect to have happen if you keep doing this again and again and again and again, on average, we're going to see that each person loses about 5 cents. Some will win and a lot will lose. But on average, what you see is the casino makes 5 cents. And that's what the casino counts on. The casino wants to make 5 cents every time you play roulette, and that's how it makes its money. You make enough 5 cents and you've really done them. Now, how could you possibly make this game more fair? Well, you can make it more fair by having the casino actually pay out more money. For example, if the casino were to pay $37 for every time that you do this, well then, if you think about it, what would happen in that case? Well, in fact, let's actually say that they pay $38. So they pay for as many times as there are numbers on the wheel. Well, then it works out, if you compute the expected value, to be zero. So what does it mean for the expected value to be zero? So you put a dollar down and you get $38 back in this case. Well, in that case, what you would see is that if you played this game again and again, you should break even. So in fact, there, the casino wouldn't be making money on average, and you wouldn't be making money, and we call that a fair game. So a fair game is any game where, in fact, the expected value works out to be zero. So, there are many examples of a fair game. Let me just show you one. Suppose that you take just a regular fair coin, and you flip it, and you bet, let's say, some amount of money, and if you win, you get double that. So, in fact, if you win, you get that money back plus the same amount that you also put in. So, for example, if you were to bet a dollar and you were to win, when you flip it, you say heads and it comes up heads, then you'd win $2. And notice that that first dollar covers how much it costs and you make a dollar profit. Well, that would actually be a fair game because the expected value would be zero. Meaning that if you kept playing this long enough and keep betting a dollar each time, you would expect on average to, in fact, see no wins and no losses. Your losses would equally match out your wins. But there's some interesting strategies that I want us to think about, some strategies that actually seem a little bit surprising potentially. There's the doubling strategy. So let me show you the doubling strategy. The doubling strategy says we're going to flip the coin, and if it comes up, we win. We bet a dollar. And if it comes up that we win, then we stop. Notice we get paid $2. And in that case, we made a $1 profit, and we stop. Even though you might be saying, oh, I'm on a roll, I'm going to do it again. The doubling strategy says, stop right there and quit, and you've made a dollar profit. Now, on the other hand, suppose that you lost. Suppose that you actually bet the dollar, and in fact, you flipped, and you didn't win. The doubling strategy says that you play again, and this time you double your previous bet. So if you bet a dollar before, you now will bet $2. Now look what happens when you flip the coin this time. If you were to actually win, you would get twice what you just bet, which is $2, so you'd get $4 now. And notice that the first $3 covers your initial investment, and you now still remain a profit of $1. So you still make $1. You still make $1. What if you were, in fact, to lose the second time? So now you've invested $3, the first $1 bet, you doubled it, and you bet $2, you still lost. You now bet again, But what's the process? You double your bet, your previous bet. So now I bet $4. So now I've invested a total of $7. What happens if I win now? If I win now, I get a total of $8 because I just invested a bet of $4. The first $7 cover my losses, and look what happens. I get a dollar profit. Well, this pattern actually continues. If we keep using this doubling strategy, when we finally do win, what we will see is we made a $1 profit. We'll get a lot of money, but the profit is only $1. Well, this is sort of interesting because if you think about it, you say, gee, this is a wonderful strategy. I'm guaranteed to win a dollar. I just use this strategy. Namely, I keep playing and doubling my previous bet until I win, and once I win, I stop. That's the rule. You must stop, and then you've won a dollar. Well, if you actually work out the expected value of this, let's see what we get. Well, you can see that the expected value will always be a dollar. It will always be a dollar. And why is that? Well, because the first time through, the probability that the game will stop the first time, well, if the game stops the first time, that means that you've won the first time out. And if you won the first time out, what's the probability of that? Well, it means the coin landed the way you wanted, and the probability of that is 1 over 2, 1 half. So with 1 half the probability, you will see a payoff of these $2. Okay, great. So now we have that number, which is what? Well, it's 1 half, and what's the profit? The profit's 1. So the value of it is 1, the probability is a half, so we take 1 times a half and get a half. Now we add to it the probability that we didn't win the first round. Well, what would happen then? Well, then we bet $2 more. And if we win the next round, what's the value of that? The value, again, remains $1. There's the $1 profit, the value to us. And what's the probability of winning the second round? That means that we first flipped the coin one way, it didn't come up, and then we flipped another time, and it went the way we wanted to. So what's the probability of getting those two coin tosses to be the right way? Well, there are four possible values for the coin toss that we saw earlier in Mike's lecture. We could see heads, 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 tails, tails, heads, and tails, tails. Four equally likely. One of those will produce this outcome, so it's 1/4. So 1/4 times the value, which is 1. Well, this pattern actually continues. And what we see is that the value is always 1. And what are the probabilities? Well, the probabilities are always half of the previous probability. So 1/2, and then 1/4, and then 1/8, and then 1/16. And we just add up all those fractions. Well, it's an infinite list of fractions that we have to add up. How can we actually add them up? Well, if you look at a number line, you can see what the answer is. So imagine this is the number line. And if you look down, what you see is this piece right here is a half. So there's the first half. Now we add to that a quarter. So I'm just going to take this and add this next half. Here's the whole number line. We add the next half, which is now a quarter. And if we take half of that, that's an eighth, and we add that on. And then a 16th, we add that on. And a 32nd, and we so forth. And we keep doing this. And what happens? It fills up this line segment perfectly. So if you add up all those infinitely many fractions, what do we see? What we see is the number 1. Well, that's not surprising. If we play this strategy, we would expect to win $1, right? Because you keep doing it, and you win $1. So that's right. So this seems like a great way to win a dollar. If you do this each time, or if you bet $1 million, then you'd do $1 million each time instead of a dollar. What's the problem? The problem is that while it's a sure thing, we may have to lose arbitrarily amounts of money before we actually win that $1. You might have to keep investing, 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 investing. So if you don't have an infinite amount of money, then this game actually might not be the best game for you, because you have to be able to stand all those losses before you finally win. And then what do you win? You win a $1 profit on a potentially billion-dollar bet. So it's interesting, but maybe not the best strategy. Well, how about one where you're guaranteed actually to do really great, at least in the eyes of expected value? This is a wonderful paradox called the St. Petersburg paradox, and it was actually first discovered and reported by the Swiss mathematician Daniel Bernoulli in 1738. And it's a wonderful paradox, and let me tell you about the game. So the game is, again, to flip a coin, but the rules are a little bit different now. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much money it costs to play the game. I'm going to leave that to the end. So you're going to pay some amount of money yet to be disclosed, and then we're going to tell you what happens next. Well, what happens next is you're going to flip the coin. If the coin comes up heads, congratulations, you've won, and you win $2. And the game is over, and that's the end of the game. Not bad. Okay, fine. Now, if you flip the coin and it comes up tails, that means that you get to flip again. So, in fact, you're just going to keep flipping as long as you see tails, and the moment you see heads, the game will end. So the first time you roll, flip ahead, you're going to see, in fact, that the game ends. Now, what's the payoff? If you see heads the first time, you get $2. If you first flip and see a tail, and then you flip and see a heads, then you get double that. You get actually $4. Suppose that, in fact, you flip tail, tail, then you flip again. If you see heads now, you get double that. You get $8. This is looking pretty good now, right? So you want, actually, to flip lots of tails in a row, because that's now going to build your bank account. If you now, in fact, so this was flipping once, and then if you flipped again, what you see is you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, my goodness. No, you get $4. And now if you were to get tails, tails, and then get heads, then, in fact, you get $8 more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's going off the table now. So you can see the money is really growing. It's exponential growth. In fact, Mike talked about this at the beginning in Lecture 2. The point is that every stage you're going to get double what you had in the previous stage. Well, this looks like a great investment. And if you compute the expected value, what's the expected value for us? Well, let's see. At the very beginning, the probability of flipping heads is actually a half. So it's one half. And what's the payoff? The payoff is, in fact, $2. So it's 2 times the probability, which is one half. Notice the 2 upstairs and the 2 downstairs cancel. So the expected value of that one thing is 1. Now, what the other possibility is that you got tails and then got heads. What is that? Well, there, you get $4. $4 is given to you. And then what happens? Well, what's the probability of that? Well, the probability of that is a quarter, because you first have to get tails and then heads. Half times a half, which is a quarter, and then you multiply that by the value, which is 4. So again, we see 4 divided by 4, we see 1 again. And that pattern continues. At every stage, when we take the probability, which will be 1 over 2 to some power, and we multiply it by the value, which is going to be 2 to that same power, those terms cancel out and I get 1. So I can play this game potentially forever, and when you add up infinitely many 1s, what do we see about the expected value? The expected value, in fact, turns out to be infinity. 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1. So this is a game where the payoff, if you do it again and again, is going to be infinite. It's going to be infinite. So this is actually a fantastic game to play. Where do I sign up for this game? Well, the answer is, how much are you willing to pay at the beginning of this game to play? Well, it sounds like if the payoff is infinite, I'm willing to pay just about anything. But it turns out that this is a great paradox. Suppose that you spent just merely $1,000. Merely $1,000 to play this game whose expected value is infinity. How would you actually make money on that $1,000 bet? Well, you have to get a long run of tails. Because if you got heads too early, you're not going to recoup your $1,000 investment. You're only going to get a little bit. You're either going to get 2 or 4 or 8 and so forth. So how much do you actually have to get a bunch of tails? You actually have to get 9. You have to get 9 tails in a row in order to make back that $1,000 investment. What's the probability of getting 9 tails in a row? It's 1 over 2 to the 9th. Which is 1 over 512, which works out to be 0.00192. So that is so slim, and it seems so counterintuitive that if you just bet $1,000, you'd expect to win infinitely many dollars. But it turns out that the probability that you win is very slim. So what's the moral here? The moral here is that you win very, very, very seldom. But when you win big. It's a huge payoff. But the probability of winning is very, very low. And so those things balance somehow in some sort of complicated way. And so you're seeing a wonderful paradox where the expected value is infinite, and yet, if you put up $1,000, the chances of you making money is very small. This is a wonderful paradox known as St. Petersburg paradox. Well, it turns out that it's not just gambling in casinos that we experience these things. In fact, quite often, we engage in many forms of gambling in our everyday lives and not even realizing it. So even if you don't like casinos or you're offended by them, it turns out that we are gambling. For example, consider the notion of insurance. If you take a look at an insurance policy, in fact, the insurance company actually wants you to live a long, long time and keep paying those premiums, right? In some sense, we want to die early to make the big payoff. Now, of course, we don't really appreciate the payoff, but our heirs do. And so again, what is the expected value of that? Even in decision-making, this becomes an issue. When we make decisions as to whether we want to do one thing or the alternative, we actually are computing, in some sense, an expected value, putting a quantitative measure to it. It turns out there's this wonderful paradox. In fact, the French philosopher William Newcomb proposed this paradox, and it actually remains unsolved today. And I wanted to share it with you because, in fact, it's a terrific paradox, and it involves an experiment. So we're led into a room. Okay, so there's a woman who's going to give us this experiment. She's a scientist, and she leads us into the room, and in the room we see two boxes. One box is completely opaque, and we have no idea what's inside. The other box we can actually see and enjoy that there is, in fact, $10,000 in cash in that box. So this is exciting. Now, the scientist tells you that she's going to leave the room, and once she leaves the room, you will have two choices. You can look at these two boxes and either select both boxes and keep the contents of both boxes, or you might prefer just to select the question mark box, leave the $10,000 behind, and only take the contents of the question mark box. Well, if that's your decision, then there's a couple things you wonder about. First of all, what's in the question mark box? Well, I'll tell you. The question mark box is either empty, so there's nothing in the question mark box, or the question mark box is filled with $1 million. So the box is either empty or has $1 million in it. So let's review the possibilities again. You can either elect to take both boxes and their contents, or you can leave the $10,000 behind and just take this box, which may contain $1 million. Well, it seems pretty plain what you would do, right? You would take them both, because then you have the chance of getting $1 million, and you're definitely guaranteed to get the $10,000. It sounds like a no-brainer. But there's a couple of added wrinkles here that you are told about before you make your decision. Namely, how is it determined whether the $1 million is put in this box or not? Well, this scientist is an excellent judge of the human psyche. And so she sizes you up, and she will make a prediction as to what she believes you will do when you're put in that situation. And if she believes that you will leave this $10,000 box and just take the question mark box, then she puts the $1 million in. But if she believes that, you know, you might actually try to be a little bit greedy and take them both, then she puts nothing in this box. So beforehand, she makes a decision. She sort of meets you and she shakes your hand and talks to you. And if she believes that you're the kind of person that actually will take them both, then she puts nothing in here. If she believes that you're the kind of person that will actually leave this and just take this, then she puts $1 million in there. Well, this raises the question, how good is she at predicting the human psyche? Suppose she's very good. And suppose that we know, we're told beforehand, that she's 90% correct. That means 90% of the time she accurately predicts a person taking both, and they do, or she accurately predicts a person just taking this one, and they do. 90% of the time. Well, the question is, now you're led into the room, you're faced with these two boxes, you can't lift them up, by the way. Some people say, oh, well, I'm going to see if it's heavy. You can't touch them. The question is, what would you do? Well, this is a wonderful paradox because there's several ways of looking at it. See, one way to look at it is to say, well, let's compute the expected value. So what's the expected value of taking both boxes? Because we're tempted to take both boxes because she's already put the $1 million in there or not. Well, with probability 0.9, you're only going to get $10,000. But with probability 0.1, she's wrong, and you get $1,010,000. And so when you work out that expected value, what do you see? You see an expected value of $110,000. So on average, you'd expect to get $110,000 from that strategy. That seems great. What if you just take the $1 million box and leave this one aside? Well, with 0.9 probability, very likely she guessed that, and therefore she put $1 million in there. So you get $1 million with probability 0.9. That's really high. But with probability 0.1, she actually got it wrong. She put nothing in there, and in fact, you didn't take this, so you get nothing. Well, when you work out that probability, you see you get $900,000. So just by taking the question mark box, the expected value is much higher, almost 9 times higher. You get $900,000 on average if you just pick this versus taking them both when on average you'd only get $110,000. So what do? Well, the paradox is that the truth is it's a done deal. Once she has either put the money in or not, it's done. So the question is, do you feel special? Do you feel like that you're one of the people that can slip under that 90% radar and actually have her make a mistake? So you take them both in the hope that, in fact, she has predicted you'd only take this one and put $1 million in there? Or do you believe in free will? Can you come in there and just say, you know what, I want to live my life not as a sheep, but I'm going to take them both, and that's it, free will. And whatever happens, happens, and it's a done deal, and it's finished. Or do you say, I'm just one of many, many people, and I'm ordinary, I'm average, because the truth is, almost all of us are ordinary, in which case, in that case, you would predict us correctly, and we should just take this box. So the question is, do you feel special? Do you believe in free will? It all boils down to this sort of amazing paradox, which, in fact, has no answer at this point, because if you work out the expected value answer, it's clear you just take this. If you think about free will and the fact that, you know what, I don't care, you can take them both. It's a really fascinating question. And the interesting thing about the question is that you can vary it by asking, what happens if there were only like a dollar in here? Suppose there was a dollar here. Well, then certainly I think almost everyone would take this, because it's like buying a dollar lottery ticket. You lose potentially a dollar, but with 0.9 probability you win a million. So in fact, there's a wonderful sort of paradox that shows us that thinking about expected value allows us to actually quantify the issue. But we see this in our everyday lives. I mean, for example, should you buy $100 worth of lottery tickets? Or should you spend $100, let's say, on this course, The Joy of Thinking? Well, you can actually compute the value of this, right? In fact, spending $100 on lottery tickets, on average, if you average a lot, most people lose. But of course, when you win big. It's very much like some of the puzzles and paradoxes that we saw, the gambling games we saw earlier in this lecture. Turns out, on average, for every dollar you invest, you get about 50 cents back. So you lose half your money. So for example, $100 worth of lottery tickets, the expected value of that would be about negative $50. You'd lose $50 on that investment. Whereas if you actually were to watch the lectures of Mike and myself, and somehow it informs and inspires you to think and look at things differently and think more effectively, then in fact, you might actually be getting salary raises, make better investments, both in your time and money. And in fact, I think it's clear where to put your $100 investment. Anyway, you can see that life decisions really do quite often boil down to looking at the quantitative aspects of things. And, you know, I think it really highlights the notion of weighing all possibilities. So quite often when we walk through our lives, there are issues that arise that don't appear to be of a quantitative nature. We're making decisions about how we're going to live our lives, where we're going to live our lives, what investments we're going to make, not just investments in terms of financial, but also investments in terms of our time, our resources, and allocating issues. Quite often by computing the expected value, either if you can actually calculate it, knowing the likelihoods of various outcomes and their values, you can just take those various products, the value of an outcome times its likelihood, and add all those numbers up. Or you can just do it in a qualitative fashion and think about how likely something is and the potential payoff. And does that outweigh the other alternatives together with their likelihoods and their payoffs? When you put these ideas together, all of a sudden you see your journey through life in a more directed way. You see that there are alternatives. One of the greatest lessons, in fact, that economics teaches us is the idea of the notion of the opportunity cost, right? Every decision we make comes at the price of all the other alternatives. And the notion of expected value allows us to actually quantify all those things. And then when we make a decision, we can really view it as being an informed decision, a wise decision, at least knowing the fact that we aren't certain of the outcome. So when things lie ahead and our future is in front of us and we don't know for certain what will happen, quite often weighing all the possible likelihoods is a powerful way of proceeding. So the thinking lessons from this journey into the notion of expected value really are several fold. First of all, the idea of looking at all possibilities, examining the issues from several points of view, as we did, in fact, with the paradox of Newcomb, where if we look at it one way, we'd want to take them both since it's a done deal, or the other way saying, you know what, I'm not special. I'm just like everyone else. I'll pick the $1 million question mark box with the hope of having the woman correct and getting $1 million. But also, it's the notion of looking at things not only from several points of view, but looking at them with a quantitative eye. For the moment we start to associate numbers, in this case likelihoods, with our lives, all of a sudden we begin to make far more informed decisions. The next lecture will take up the notion of what it means when things, in fact, are completely unpredictable and take a look at randomness and see that even within randomness, we're going to find structure. So in the next lecture, we'll take a look at randomness and then we'll close with the ever-popular notion of coincidences.